Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to this episode of Relatable Finance. The most common assets that people traditionally invest in are stocks and bonds, as these are the most commonly traded assets and have historically produced attractive returns. Another area that is commonly considered is commodities, which includes things such as energy, precious metals, agriculture, etc. Today, we thought we would go into this area in greater detail to help explain why this could be beneficial to an investment portfolio in certain situations, and also some of the challenges of investing in this space.
As you will see, there are really three main reasons to invest in commodities. First, for investment purposes through futures. Second, they are purchased by companies who actually need to use them in order to do business. And in some cases, futures are purchased in order to hedge the risk of needing to use them. And lastly, by buying investments that are highly influenced by commodity prices, such as oil companies, MLPs, and some emerging market countries.
So let's start off with the definition of commodities. Commodities generally are inputs that are used in the production of other goods or services and should, for the most part, be relatively the same. So, for example, a barrel of oil should be a barrel of oil, or a bushel of wheat is a bushel of wheat. There may be minor differences due to quality, but by and large, these are going to be the exact same, and that's why they trade as a commodity.
There are five categories to consider. Industrial metals like copper and aluminum that are used to make things, precious metals such as gold and silver, energy including oil and natural gas, agriculture like soybeans, lumber, wheat, and cotton, and livestock such as cattle and lean hogs.
So now we have a general idea of the different types of commodities. Why might they be considered from an investment perspective? First, returns. There are time frames when certain commodities can produce very attractive returns and therefore enhance the returns of an investment portfolio. Next, correlation. Many commodities have a negative or low correlation with stocks and bonds. Anytime an asset can produce positive returns over time and be non-correlated with stocks and bonds, in theory, they should be able to add value to the portfolio via diversification. And lastly, risk mitigation. And this also corresponds with the low correlation. But the factors that really drive commodity returns are different than the factors that drive stock and bond returns. So therefore, they can add value and reduce risk to an overall portfolio.
Probably the best way to track the general performance of commodities is through an index. The most common indexes are from S&P and Goldman Sachs, Dow UBS, and the Bloomberg Commodity Index. Each of these are essentially the same thing. They just have slightly different weights for their respective commodities and different rebalancing methods. For example, the S&P Goldman Sachs Commodity Index is composed of 24 futures contracts, 6 energy, 5 industrial metals, 8 agriculture, 3 livestock, and 2 precious metals. This index is weighted by the global production of each of these, and they gain exposure by investing in the futures contract nearest to expiration. In many cases, if you want a simple allocation to commodities, you can invest in an ETF that will broadly track these different commodity indexes, or through a mutual fund where they'll make active decisions on which types they believe will do the best. But again, these are a little bit different than buying a stock or a bond.
So Shane just described with these indexes, most of them use the nearest futures contracts to have exposure to the commodity. So what are futures? Futures are derivative contracts that are tied to the price of a commodity with the expectation of future delivery. So for example, as we sit at the moment, the current spot price of oil is $37.30. The 1 month futures contract for oil is $37.28, a little bit lower. 2 months is $37.56, a little bit higher than the current price, and 3 months is $37.99. These go out for a while in different lengths for different commodities, but nonetheless, they all have contracts very far out into the future.
So these future contracts, which may be a little bit confusing, are the way most people will gain exposure to commodities for investment purposes. So as I mentioned before, an ETF or a mutual fund will own futures contracts. To go further on Joe's explanations, you can buy a futures contract, and as the contract nears expiration, one would expect the futures price that you purchased it at, like Joe mentioned, a 1 month or 2 months in the future, to approach the current price, which is called the spot price.
If you buy a commodity ETF that tracks an index, you will likely be getting a portfolio of 1 month futures contracts for the various commodities, and the maturity comes up as they sell the contract and buy another 1 month futures contract. Since most commodity investors are done through futures contracts, it is important to have a basic understanding of how they work. If you were to plot a futures curve on a graph and then connect those dots with a line, there is typically a shape to the futures curve. Said another way, you usually wouldn't expect the futures price of something in 6 months or 12 months or beyond that to be the same as a current or spot price. and there are various factors that cause that to be the case, such as market conditions, weather expectations, or storage costs.
So when we are investing in commodities via futures, it is important to consider these components because they are much different than stocks and bonds. Obviously, the current or spot price moving up or down will be a major factor, but so will the roll yield, which is simply the rolling over of the futures contract from 1 month to the next. For example, if you bought a 1 month futures contract and it is set to expire, but you want to maintain exposure to that commodity, you'll need to sell this month's futures contract because you don't want to actually accept a barrel of oil and buy next month. If next month is below the current price, the roll yield will be positive. If next month is more expensive, then the roll yield will be negative.
So we went over some of the basics, but we have actually have a really good example of the factors that can impact commodity markets early this year. To start 2020, the price of WTI, or West Texas Intermediate Crude, was around $61. And that price would plummet as the coronavirus was discovered first in China, the world's second largest oil consumer, and then spread throughout the world.
Next, various members of OPEC met in Austria in early March and announced production cuts in response to the coronavirus. Why? Because the virus was certainly going to have an impact on economic activity and demand was going to go down. If all members of OPEC kept producing at current levels, they would flood the market with oil and prices would plummet.
But Russia did not want to agree to that proposal, and in retaliation, Saudi Arabia rapidly increased production. Why would those two do that? Well, oil production accounts for roughly 30% of Russia's economy, so production cuts would certainly hurt the Russian economy. Saudi Arabia, on the other hand, one of the founding members of OPEC, has one of the lowest marginal costs of production. So said another way, their cost of producing a barrel of oil is much lower than others. So if Russia wasn't going to follow the rules and the agreement set forth by OPEC, Saudi Arabia could flood the market, and that would have a much greater impact on Russia than it would Saudi Arabia.
Meanwhile, by this point, it had become clear that the coronavirus was going to have a significant impact on the global economy and not just China. So this ends up being a perfect storm for the oil market. Demand has declined substantially due to the negative impact on the economy and resulting decline in the use of oil. Supply dramatically increases because of Russia and Saudi Arabia increasing their production. And then we have a storage problem because all this extra oil needs to be stored somewhere if it's no longer in the ground and not being consumed.
So some of you may recall that the price of oil actually turned negative for a moment. And that's where we get to the topic of storage. Oil, if we pull it out of the ground, isn't just automatically used immediately. We typically have to store it, refine it, etc. Well, as you can imagine, with the perfect storm that we just described, storage was full. So the cost of storage actually skyrocketed, and that's why the price went negative.
So that may seem overly complex, and in some instances it probably is too complex, but that scenario played out in a way that we have never seen before. It is important to understand why these derivative contracts were created. First, futures, as we've been mentioning, fall under the umbrella of derivative contracts, which are essentially a way to track the price of an underlying asset. And these were originally created to help provide a smoother ride for the producers and consumers of the commodity, and then turned into another way for investors to invest in commodities without buying the actual metal or oil. As I mentioned earlier, futures exist because in many cases they are used to hedge out risk. Let's say, for example, you are an airline. One of your primary costs is the price of jet fuel. Most travelers tend to book flights well out in advance. So let's say a flight is booked a month in advance of the actual flight. Pretty much all of the revenue from that flight is locked in. But if oil prices were to rise significantly the month ahead due to some geopolitical conflict, let's say, the profitability of that flight could go down significantly.
Or let's say you're a soybean producer, or you're a company that makes cereal and wheat is a major component of what you do. Or let's say you're a manufacturer and you use many of the different metals or use silver in your components. Point is that many of these or massive fluctuation in these prices can have a major impact on your bottom line, and futures can be used to hedge out some of the risk associated with the price increases and decreases of these commodities.
But let's focus our attention back to commodities as an investment and how that may help an overall investment strategy. From a pure investment perspective, investing directly in commodities can be challenging in some scenarios, as we just tried to illustrate with oil. Another approach could be companies that invest in that space, such as oil companies, MLPs, or gold miners.
Yeah, so if we don't want to have exposure to these commodities via the futures contracts and deal with the nuances of that, we can try to gain exposure to different types of companies that are in these spaces. So for example, if we want to work with an oil refiner, or ones that drill the oil out of the ground. We can gain exposure to the price of oil via that. The point here, though, is that you're also dealing with the components or the nuances of these individual companies. MLPs are a pipeline, if you will, that transports natural gas or oil from one place to another. Think of these as more of like a toll road for these energies, and they charge a toll for the price of oil or natural gas as it goes through. Again, you kind of get exposure indirectly to the price of commodity, but it's not one for one because it's more of a toll road and a fee paid. You can also get exposure to gold via gold miners. Again, you're dealing with the individual components of the company, not necessarily the pure price of gold. As the price of gold went up, you would expect the gold miners' stock price to go up, but it's not a true one-for-one relationship. We want to go over some of these examples to give you some of the nuances of how you can gain exposure elsewhere, but also some of the challenges of doing that approach as well.
From an investment strategy perspective, we would never really recommend that someone's entire portfolio be invested in commodities or commodity-related companies. There may be time periods in history where commodities perform really well, but longer term, you would expect the returns to be modest and essentially keep pace with inflation. As Joe mentioned earlier, they are usually used opportunistically for returns, but more often as a diversifier and risk mitigator.
So why take the time to go over commodities? Is there any long-term play here? While recent returns have been relatively modest, there are some factors that could really push commodity returns higher in the coming years. Global population growth. The United Nations expects the global population to grow from 7.7 billion last year in 2019 to 9.7 billion by 2050. That's a pretty big increase. There are segments of the global population where the middle class is expected to grow substantially in the coming decades, and as more people grow into the middle class, demand for some of these commodities will likely go up as well. Broadly speaking, commodity prices are driven by supply and demand. If markets are oversupplied, prices will fall. If demand exceeds supply, then prices will rise. If supply is constrained, companies will look for new ways to try and provide these or offer a substitute. Think of the shale revolution in the oil industry in the United States, or recent advancements in farming, renewable energy, or even synthetic meat. But not all commodities have substitutes that will provide the same benefits or that consumers or industries will accept. Given the relatively modest returns of commodity in recent decades, the expected growth in global population and increase in the middle class, and also the recent commitment by the Federal Reserve towards an average inflation target and willingness to let inflation overshoot a bit, commodities may be something to consider. So to recap our episode today, commodities can add value to a portfolio, either as return enhancers in certain situations, diversifiers, or risk reducers. But it's important to note that these are not constants, and those attributes will likely vary depending upon economic and market conditions. There are also unique factors with investing in commodities. Most of the time, we don't want to actually take hold of the commodity itself, and storage costs can be a factor for someone else to hold it. So as a consequence of this, it's oftentimes easier to gain exposure to commodities through futures contracts, which themselves have their own nuances. Another way to gain exposure to commodities is investing in commodity companies or industries that produce, harvest, or mine them. While these can help you participate in the price appreciation of the commodity, you also need to consider the factors associated with the companies or companies in the industry, so the relationship with the commodity is not going to be one-to-one. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Relatable Finance. If you have any questions, email us at podcast@provwealth.com or check out our website at relatablefinance.com.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. It does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.